Our scripture reading draws together three passages, very different passages, stretching over many centuries, and they help us to focus on retirement. Scripture doesn't offer magic answers for impossible questions, but if we look on the lines, and sometimes between the lines, it's remarkable how much wisdom and God-given guidance there is for us in Scripture as we try to make our way in life. When it comes to retirement, for instance, Scripture is very plain and precise. In fact, there is only one mention of retirement in Scripture from the ancient book of Numbers.
The Lord said to Moses, "From the age of 25, each Levite shall perform his duties in the tent of my presence, and at the age of 50 he shall retire. After that, he may help his fellow Levites in performing their duties."
And then, many centuries later, in the years following the changing of everything, which was the first Easter, Paul wrote these words to the Christian community at Ephesus.
"So, be careful how you live. Don't live like ignorant people, but like wise people. Make good use of every opportunity you have. Try to find out what the Lord wants you to do."
And finally, listen to the words of a very old man, John by name, written from a place of exile and imprisonment, a Greek island called Patmos. John is no longer employed, you might say. Retired, you might say, but still in the service of his master. And John reflects and tries to explain, mysteriously but beautifully, what it means to have met Jesus of Nazareth all those years ago, to have lived, walked, and shared with him 3.5 years of his life.
"Before the world was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. And so the Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. Thanks be to God for these holy words. Amen."
This is the world we live in, a world where, in our society at least, retirement is almost an expectation. But what sort of expectation? Is retirement so far away as to be unimaginable? But someone at your office is badgering you to take out a pension plan? Do it now, you won't regret it. They're probably right. Or is the prospect of retirement something that is a little bit scary? Because whilst you're working, you know what you're about. You have your purpose in the universe and some kind of place in the pecking order of life. And in that way, it all kind of works for you. But retirement, what would you do? Who would you be? Or is retirement something you feel the government has cheated on? There was this idea that you, as a man, could knock off at 65. All you had to do was get there. But now the government, realizing that there was a financial black hole of epic proportions facing them if that scheme carried on, have moved the goalposts for both sexes. Or is retirement something of an ideal, an aspiration, a chance to do the things you can't do at the moment? A chance to leave behind a job which has only been done out of duty and an honourable desire to provide for the family you love, but which has never come close to actually fulfilling you? So retirement, in that context, can't come soon enough? Or is retirement something you're already in, and maybe it took a wee while to adjust to that rather different world? But perhaps to your surprise, you've discovered that it can be satisfying and creative. You haven't become a spectator of life. You're still in there, and you're still in there being useful. Being useful is, I think, the secret worry that some folk wrestle with before retirement crops up. When I was a kid, if I was hanging around the house, my mother would say, well, if you're going to stand there, you might as well be useful. And I'd end up having my arms used as sort of pinions as she unraveled wool, or my hands to help fold sheets. Uselessness was a crime. Much later, when I worked as a chaplain at a hospice, I was amazed to discover that the many patients who were there, coming from very different social backgrounds, all had this thing that we might be ill, very ill, but we can still be useful. And that was their wish. So they would make crafts, build bird boxes, inscribe slates, frame pictures, knit teddies, bake stolen cakes, all for the hospice's massive Christmas fair, which was of epic proportions. Every stall sold out every year. And some of the folk who had made such beautiful items were no longer there on the day of the sale to see the pleasure that their skill, their productivity, their usefulness had brought to others. But to the last, they wanted to be and were indeed useful. In this world we live in our society, retirement is still seen as a goal, a right, in fact, even though we're not quite sure what to do with it if we get there. It wasn't always so. People just worked until they died. The nature and physicality of their tasks changing to acknowledge the diminishing of their physical powers. The concept of retirement simply didn't exist. Even kings died on the job, whether on the field of battle or between silken sheets. And then something happened, called the Industrial Revolution. Millions of folk moving from countries to cities. The birth of mass employment and heavy industries as opposed to agriculture. And these cities demanded strong, energetic workers, however poorly paid. So if workers of senior years simply couldn't deliver the same work rate anymore, there had to be a way of moving them on. And so it was that, believe it or not, Chancellor von Bismarck, in the late 19th century Germany, he introduced the idea of a modest pension for the older guys to get them out of the workplace so that the young bucks could come in and up production levels. And the prospect of a pension helped to keep his workers and retired workers benign. No civil unrest and revolution nonsense. Chancellor Otto von Bismarck, the most unlikely patron saint of social improvement, even his motives were less imperfect. And then the American railroads in the early 20th century, they started to offer their older staff a pension if they would retire. Again, to get the young bucks in because they would up the production levels. And slowly the idea evolved. There was other influences, of course. But slowly the idea evolved that retirement was a good idea. That humans could work hard and at the same time look forward to a stage in later life when that responsibility could be handed over to someone else. And they would receive, partly from the state, a pension of a scale that met they wouldn't have to live in dire poverty. That was the theory. A lot of these changes were driven by economic forces, but underlying it all, a voice slowly growing louder was this question: does my life derive its importance, its value, and its significance from the fact that I work? And if I don't work, if I stop working, call it retirement, am I just filling a space until the undertakers call by? Nowadays, it's generally accepted, although a lot of countries have got catch up to do, nowadays it's generally accepted that people have a right to a period of life in their later years when they don't need to work, but neither do they have to live in poverty. The idea developed that the state, but also the individual from his or her savings, should provide for a period of retirement. And again, the question arises, what do you do with retirement? If I've spent 30, 40, 50 years punching my card and understanding that this is the kind of person I am, this is a job I do, how am I to understand myself when I no longer have my work, my profession, my trade, my skills? These things give me my status, my self-definition. If they're taken away, what or who am I? And if that sounds like an indulgent question for men, perhaps it once was, but not now. More and more households have both partners working, both partners deriving some sense of identity from what they do professionally. And no matter what juggling or guilt goes on in the background whilst rearing a family and running a household, the fact is that work and identity and ultimately retirement are questions facing women as much as men, in partnerships and also as singles. Now, shine the light of the gospel on these big contemporary issues. And what do we find? We find, as we read in our scriptures, that there's really only one passage which acknowledges the reality of retirement. And Anne read it. And the reason that the priest had to retire at 50 in the ancient sort of Mosaic worship at the temple was that there was a real physical dimension to their work. And they also, as part of their work as priests, they had to medically inspect people who were brought to them who were suspected of having leprosy, the most feared disease of their day. And as their society had not developed looking glasses or spectacles, no 50-year-old could realistically expect to see clearly, never mind inspect another person for telltale signs of leprosy. Thus, retirement. So the biblical concept of retirement is based on pragmatism, nothing else. And it confirms in a roundabout way that a significant part of our status and identity does come from work. Once I was speaking with a mother whose son, a labourer, had been killed in a road accident. And she said to me with great pride, just as I was leaving her home, that her son was known by his mates as the mole. "Why the mole?" I asked, curious. "Because," and she replied with pride, "because no one could dig a trench as deeply and as securely as he could. And if you're in a trench, you want to know that the walls will stay up." And you can't argue with that truth. He wasn't a brain surgeon, he was a navvy. But his mates would get into one of his trenches, would risk their lives in one of his trenches, because they knew that if the mole had dug it, it was the best trench you could find. He had status in his work. Still, the mole never got the chance to try out retirement. But he would have liked to have had that chance, I suspect, to see how he would spend time in this new, retired way. So let's go to another holy scripture, but of a secular kind. There are many who regard Tolkien's Lord of the Rings as one of the great writings of this or any other age, and see in its characters and conflicts real insights into the best and worst of human nature. And there's one conversation early on in this epic, as the dark clouds of war begin to threaten the pastoral joys of the Shire in Middle-earth, when Frodo says to Gandalf the wizard, "I wish it need not have happened in my time." "So do I," replies Gandalf, "but that is not for us to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." Time then to listen to the Apostle John, sometimes known as the beloved disciple, who, if our biblical scholars have done their homework right, is reckoned to be one of the few of the first disciples to make it into old age. The others were probably all martyred. Although exiled and imprisoned on the island of Patmos, it's reckoned that John may well have been as old as 90 when he wrote his biography of Jesus' life. we call it John's Gospel. He writes as an old man, retired, you might say, reflecting on the 3.5 years he spent in the company of Jesus, perhaps after a 50-year gap. And from this old man's faith and insight and reflection come these magnificent words from the first chapter of John's Gospel. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as his Father's only Son. Perhaps only an old man, a wise man, a man with many years of reflection and consideration, a man who doesn't for a moment think that exile equals uselessness or imprisonment equals irrelevance. Perhaps only such a person could write such stunning words, a calling card for the incarnation. The Word became a human being and, full of grace and truth, lived among us. John's Gospel has been a source of comfort, mystery, and joy to millions of people over the centuries. You could indeed say that John was retired when he wrote it, inasmuch as he was not in employment. But never, not even in exile or seriously old age, never was he retired from discipleship. He never retired from being in the service of his Master's kingdom. Now, many congregations worldwide, including Scotland, including us and cults, are blessed with a number of folk who are retired, professionally speaking, but most certainly not retired from the work of Christ's kingdom. There is energy, insight, wisdom, and a certain gung-ho-ness, that's the only word I could come up with, that such a group of people bring to the life and worship of our congregation. Retired from employment? Yes. Retired from service to Christ's kingdom? Absolutely not. As Gandalf the Wizard said, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. Answer that question faithfully. Answer that question with a question. As a disciple saying to Jesus, Lord, what would you have me do? That's when retirement offers, I think, unique and rich opportunities to serve the kingdom of Christ. And there will be glory to God the Father, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning and is now and ever shall be.
Shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, that forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.